This guy Apollos has always intrigued me. You know, he shows up again in a couple other places. There's some that say, you know, maybe you're following after Apollos. His name is familiar. History doesn't tell us a whole lot about him, other than the fact that he was faithful to preach the resurrection. He preached the gospel that Jesus was Lord. He preached the gospel that was the natural follow-on to John the Baptist. He preached the gospel that is given to each and every one of us before we go to Pentecost and is still entrusted to us after Pentecost. It's the same gospel. Many people have, throughout the history of the church, or especially the Pentecostal church, have accused us of preaching another gospel. They couldn't be farther from the truth. Oh, there have been aberrations through the years. We know that. There's always that. There are always people out there trying to make the gospel say what they wished it said. But the gospel has always been consistent. The gospel is the gospel of the resurrected Lord, the price that He paid for our sin, and the power that's ours to become the sons of God by believing in Him. The gospel is still available to us. But the difference is, in this last 100+ years or so, God has, in these last days, done what the prophet Joel said He would do. He said that He would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh, and that promise has come to pass. And indeed, it'll come to pass in even greater measure going forward from here. But just a little over 115 or 20 years ago, there began to be a stirring in the evangelical church. It always happens when God's people hear the gospel and desire to know more about the gospel writer. When they hear the word of God and their lives are transformed and they desire a relationship with the one who is the author and finisher of their faith, there's always a follow-on. There's always more when we go searching for more of Him. My friends, we run out of religion pretty quickly. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll sit down with our sharp pencils and we'll start trying to divide ourselves along the lines of our own personal proclivities. And before you know it, we wind up with something called denomination. Wait a minute, we did that, didn't we? We wind up divided on what we believe rather than on what the Word says. And at the end of the day, God still uses that and redeems that. But God never intended for us to be isolated in some little corner of Christendom, holding to our own standard and holding to our own version of the truth. We are part of the evangelical church of the living God that has been raised up, I believe, from the day of Calvary when we were given the commission. I believe from the time of Christ walking with us, we've been given a commission to go and preach the gospel. From the time on the day of Pentecost when the church was empowered, we have been emboldened and enabled to go and preach the gospel where it was never preached before. And the power of Pentecost was never intended to make me feel better. It was about making Him famous. It's not about making me a better Christian. I can't be a better Christian than the blood supplies. I'm born again and blood bought today. I've been rescued from a devil's hell by the mercy of a God who did not have to love me, but He chose to. I've been rescued from my sin from a God who sent His own Son to pay the price because I couldn't pay it. I've been rescued from a life of sin and sinfulness and given an opportunity to walk in divine hope. Now the real question is, am I walking or am I standing? The real question is, am I going forward or am I holding on? So many people today love that little analogy of tying a knot in the end of the rope and just hanging on, waiting on the Lord to come. So many of you are doing that today. Yes. Come on now, don't look around and see who I'm talking about. It might be you. Amen? Right. Some of you hadn't done a thing for the Lord in so long you forgot how.
Come on.
It'd scare some of you to death if some sinner come up to you and ask how to get to Jesus. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you what I see. Amen? I get those calls. See, that's what happens when you get nervous. Oh, well, let me call the preacher. And I love the calls. God bless you. We'll pray. But at the end of the day, you don't need to put the middleman in there. Amen? He's called all of us to be ministers of the good news. And the good news is, hey, I was lost. I was broken. I was a sinner just like you. But Jesus had mercy on me. And He called me out of darkness into the light of His loving presence. I'm thankful today that He's made all of us ministers. Somebody said, I'm not called to preach. Well, you hadn't read your Bible.
Amen.
You are called to preach. You may not be called a pastor. You may not be called to be a whatever other position you want to pick out of the pantheon, but here we are today. We're all called to preach the gospel. In fact, I believe I read something in the Scripture here. It said the moment that they were baptized, they began to speak with other tongues and they prophesied. Do you know the word there in Greek? It means they began to speak forth the good news. It didn't mean they were predicting the future. You need to turn off Oprah every once in a while and read what the Word really says. Amen? It's not about reading the tea leaves. It's about finding the truth of the gospel and sharing it wheresoever the Lord will open the door. Amen? God's called us to be ministers of good news, not ministers of repetition of the foolishness of this world. My friends, if you know more trivia than you know about the Word of God, your priorities are out of order. You ought to be an expert, subject matter expert on Calvary. Hello? God's called all of us to go there and to spend time there and to rise up and tell other folks what happened to us there. That's the good news, amen?
Yeah.
Good news, I was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah.
The good news may not be, you may not be able to go back to the Greek and Hebrew and parse all the verbs down to where they need to be. There's plenty of resources in the kingdom to help you do that. But friends, you may be like that poor old fellow who was lame and couldn't walk, and these fellows come by, talk to him about silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He got up and he took up his bed. You know what he told them when they came to ask him what happened to him? Do you know what his answer was? I don't know about any of these things, but all I know is that I couldn't walk and now I can. The blind man said, I was blind, but now I see. That one that was weak and weary in his body that took up his bed was able to say, there was a man that came my way. There was somebody that came my way. There was something that happened in my life. And I alone can tell you about the transformation in my life because he has changed me. I can't do that for you. God's called all of us to be ministers of the good news. And the good news is not that you're going to always get. The good news is you can be transformed so you can give. The good news is you can be transformed so you can give. Give of what? Give of yourself. Give the good news. Give opportunity. Give hope. Give the peace of God. Give the very presence of the Holy Spirit because you've been with him and carrying him inside of you. God's called us to make a difference in this world, not just to survive it. All right, I'll slow down and say that again. God's called us to make a difference in this world and not just survive it. Amen? The culture is on its way to the precipice, folks. And the people around us don't even understand some of the simple things. We used to have backup from our culture, but that's gone, folks. Our culture is no longer helping us out. Amen? Somebody said we're a Judeo-Christian society. Well, even our own president said those days are behind us. Huh? You say, well, I wish it wasn't true. Well, listen, look around. It doesn't take much to prove it. Amen? I'm not sure how much of his work I like, but one of the things he said, he coined a word, he called us post-Christian. Post-Christian, our nation. Post-Christian. Somebody said, are we a Christian? And somebody said, well, maybe once we were. I don't know how much it's possible for a nation to be Christian, but I do know the culture is shifting toward annihilation. And I'm not here to be negative with you this morning. I'm here with good news. You see, the only reason God hadn't judged America is because of folks just like you and me. Listen to me. I'm not trying to say we're something and everybody else is less than that. I'm trying to tell you that God is having mercy on this nation because there's still some folks in the bullpen, Brother Will. There's still some folks ready to come up to bat. There's still some people who are willing to take on themselves that Great Commission calling and to go out and tell somebody that there's hope in their life. You say, preacher, you don't understand what a mess I made in my life. Talk to that little woman at the well that Jesus came across and try to compare histories with her and let's see who comes out ahead. Look at some of the folks that Jesus redeemed and set free. My goodness, look at the one that we just read about. Look at these that are being preached about. And look at the one that God used to literally change the whole of Asia through his obedience in this one stubborn town. My friends, God does not pick perfect people to do perfect work. He calls you and me out of our imperfection and he perfects us by his grace and then he enables us by his power and he gives us that unction and impetus to go forward. There are some of you here today that have been sitting on a nascent blessing and you just don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's been there a while. Brother Will touched on the struggle he had with his and finally saying, all right, Lord, I'm ready to go forward. Some of you that are under the sound of my voice in this humble little church today, if you don't ever hear another sermon, you won't be able to get out of here without having been challenged to go back and look in the mirror and see what God sees. I'm not talking about looking down your long nose of contempt for all the things you've got hidden in your closet. I'm talking about looking at what God did for you in spite of all of that. I'm talking about looking where God has brought you from. Some of you were in the sewer. Some of you were in a bad place. Amen. I know I was. My life, listen, folks, I can go back to where the Lord found me, and I can draw the trajectory I was on and the trajectory I am on today, and they're nowhere close. God has rescued me from a life of addiction and rescued and touched my family, not because I'm all of that, but because he's all of that and because he promised he would come and save me and my household. And God has delivered and he'll deliver for you. The question is, do you still believe that God is a God who rebuilds out of the broken pieces? Are you stirring through the ashes trying to find a diamond so you can claim it for yourself? Do you recognize like Nehemiah did that you can go back and find those old burned out stones and there's still some good ones in the burnings there? Amen. There's still some stuff that God can use and God can help you to clean it up a little bit and put it right back to work. God wants you to be busy about the Father's business. And the only way that you and I will be able to answer that call is for us to stop obsessing on why we can't and start being willing to trust and believe that we can. God has given us everything we need. This passage of Scripture I read to you was about a church that we all know and shows up in two other different places. Actually, he had to write them a letter a little later. And Paul had, I believe, a special affinity for the church at Ephesus. We look here at chapter 19, verses 1 through 8, is the beginning of his third missionary journey. It's interesting as he begins his missionary journeys every single time. His first one in chapter 13, his second one in chapter 16, and now his third one in chapter 19. Every one of these missionary journeys begins by an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Every single one of them begins by an encounter with God's provision for us for the journey that's ahead of us. Many would say today that the Holy Spirit is optional, and I know that I'm saved, so I'll just go on to heaven and everything will be all right. My friend, again, I wonder at what point delay becomes it becomes rebellion. I wonder at what point we delay to the point where we deny even giving God the access to bless us. God has called us to be filled with the Spirit so we wouldn't be able to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He called us to walk in the light of His Spirit within us. And it's not enough just to know about how to get saved. It's enough to know in the power of the Spirit how to share that message in a way you can't do in your flesh. God has called us not simply to be participants, but He's called us to be a transformative force in this world today. And I look around and I see men and women who've never heard the name of Jesus growing up in a state like South Carolina. I heard a story of somebody just the other day. And you'd think if there's anywhere in the world that's heard of Jesus, you almost hear about it from the birthing room in South Carolina, you would think. But friends, we're living in a post-Christian culture, and all you got to do is go to one of our cities where they've gotten away from church for a generation or two, and those babies come into the world, and they grow up with nothing but television to tell them, and all they know about Jesus is just an advertisement for somebody they don't know and can't know. Friends, God's called us to be a messenger of good news, not just an alternative philosophy, but to live a life so they can see it and want it, to live a life close enough to the Master to know that we've got it, and to live a life where we show concern enough so they know that we want them to have it. God has not called us to possess. He's called us to cast our seed upon, listen, to cast our bread upon the waters. He's called us to cast our seed into the ground. He's called us to do the work. And the question is, are you busy about it, or are you still trying to get ready for it? There are things that each of us need to do on a daily basis. My little granddaughter the other day asked me, Papa, what do you read? And what's your favorite book? That's what it was. It had a book fair at the school. By the way, if you haven't been to one of them lately, take your pocketbook. But anyway, we went to the book fair. Buy one, get one free, so I need a wheelbarrow. But anyway, we got it done. And she said, well, Papa, I like this book and that one. And she's starting to say, do you know this author or that one? And something about a cat or something other. And I don't know anything about that. The kids know. I don't know that stuff. But she said, Papa, what's your favorite book? And I looked at her and I gave her that are you kidding look. And she said, I mean besides that. That's what she meant. I mean besides the Bible. They need to know that that's on the top shelf, on the top of our list. They need to know that this book matters. Amen. The greatest blessing that I've gotten as a father and now as a grandfather is to walk in the room unsolicited and find my child or now my grandchild with her Bible opened up and them looking for something, trying to find something in the Word of God. This, my friends, is a lamp to your feet. This is the source of your strength. This is the source of your commission. The Holy Ghost power within you will cause you to be able to take this and to change the world by its power and authority. In Jesus' name, we've been called to be filled with the Spirit and we've been called to go forward and make disciples. God has called us not to be in love with the world, nor the things in the world. He wants us to understand that there is something better to love. And it's all right to play around a little bit and have a little bit of recreation, but please don't get lost in the idea that your recreation is the most important thing in your life. What you do to amuse yourself and to rest yourself is well in order as long as it's sanctified good fun. But at the end of the day, what matters most is, do you know what really matters when the chips go down? What do? I see too many Christian people fall all to pieces when the enemy stands up and says, boo. God, help us to build our house on the bedrock. The bedrock is the Word of the living God. Oh, it's on Peter, our Catholic friends will say. No, please help them understand. That was on Peter, the little stone, but there's a great rock of confession that he made on that day. Come on now. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. This is what God has called us to go into the world with. A message of reconciliation and restoration. A message of redemption. I believe this with all my heart. I stole it from somebody, but I wish I'd been smart enough to say it. I stole it, but I'll just tell you again. Amen? I heard a fellow say one time, the moment the church stops preaching redemption, you might as well knock it down and build a Dairy Queen. Amen? God, help us to know this is about redeeming the lost and helping them find their way to Jesus. One of the greatest affiliations we have in our movement, and our movement is connected now around the world. They just closed out about a week ago. A group got together called Empowered 21 over in Jerusalem, Israel, and they got together with tens of thousands of believers from around the world. of the Pentecostal tradition, Assembly of God, Church of God, International Pentecostal Holiness Church, Congregational Holiness Church, on and on the list goes on and on from around the world. And they gathered in Jerusalem to share that one common thread, to touch the world with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of Pentecost. Period. That's our call. That's what we're called to do. Amen? And you want to fuss over the dregs at the bottom of the teacup? Knock yourself out. But we've got work to do, children of God. God has called us to be busy about sharing the good news of restoration and redemption. And the moment the church becomes about polishing our image instead of going out and polishing His to them and letting them see Jesus in us, that's the moment we fall off the rails. God help us to hear this simple message. The Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. When he went to Ephesus, it was a pagan town. Some of you have studied it. Some of you Sunday school teachers know it better than I. You understand they had the largest marble structure in the Hellenistic world was in Ephesus. It was a temple to Artemis. It was a temple to a pagan god. It was a place where it was not uncommon for you to be a Jew and a pagan. It was not uncommon for you to have, the fancy word to use now is syncretism. That's where you take this religion and that, mix them together and come out with your own. Oh, what hogwash is that? You see it all over the television these days, amen? But these people didn't understand what truth was. They had their own little system, and they were worshiping gods made with the hand of man, worshiping idols. And at the end of the day, God sent the Apostle Paul to dispute with them and to raise up disciples. And those disciples were raised up to build up a church. And that church became an effective center of witness, Pentecostal witness. Over in the book of Revelation, John comes back a generation later, finds out they're still doing the work. They just got off base and lost their first love. He rebukes them and tells them to get back to their first love. The Ephesian church was a common thread that touched all of Asia. And in fact, in the context of our reading this morning, you saw that all of Asia was touched in the next 2 years because of the obedience of the handful of folks in that pagan city that had everything on its mind except Jesus. My friends, you got to understand something about God. God doesn't always ask you to do easy stuff. God doesn't always ask you to do convenient things. Your calling is not about what you've got an inkling for. Your calling is about what God births within you. Amen? You think I'd want to do this if it was up to my flesh? I could just share, and Brother Terry, don't help me too much here, but you know, some of the phone calls we get and some of the stuff we're asked to fix. I've got a striped shirt in my closet. Sometimes I want to pull it out and just play referee. Amen? You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you live in another place. But I've been asked to put out some fires that I didn't have an extinguisher for. Amen? But at the end of the day, I'm here because God called me and God gave me a word to share. And that word is a simple word to call you and me to discipleship at the foot of the cross. You and me to know Him and to make Him known. In the power of Pentecost, we can change everything around us. You may have crawled up out of a cesspit and out of a sewer. I'll say that about myself. And if you feel it, you go ahead and say it about your own self. You may have crawled up out of nothing. But at the end of the day, God has called you to do something and be something in Him. The Bible even tells me that you are complete in Him. That means He'll come and fix what's busted. He'll come and fill in the blanks. He'll give you what you don't have. Preacher, I can't serve Him. My daddy was mean to me. No. You put your daddy on the altar and you get up and you walk. Amen? I can't serve Him. My husband's not walking with me. You put that stubborn rascal on the altar and stand up straight and you live right, be full of the Holy Ghost and love Him anyhow and do your very best. Come on now. We can make all kinds of excuses. Well, I've got this addiction problem. Do you know how silly that is? You're allowing something that's going to die and rot in the ground to dictate your eternal destiny simply because you don't want to take it on. Friend, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have authority to overcome every addiction in your life. You can put it down and do it in an instant. I've seen too many people that have walked out of the darkness of their own addictions and into the light of His grace. You come too late to tell me God can't do it. The question is, will you let Him? My friends, I'm not diminishing your struggle. I'm lifting up His power. I'm not diminishing your chains. I'm telling you how strong the chain breaker is, and He's able to come and set you free. It's a simple call. This is what Paul did in the Ephesian church. And as he began to preach, and he began to preach in the synagogue and speak boldly, you can trust on two things, Brother Tim. Number one, you're going to get some opposition. Folks are going to fight against you. Now, I don't mean that junk that you deserve because you did wrong. Hello?
Come on.
Come on now. Come on, listen to me. I know this is ugly, but you need to hear this. A lot of times we don't know the difference in persecution and consequences.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Consequences are out on us, amen?
Yes.
Persecution is when you are despitefully used, when you are hated for my sake, Jesus says.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
And when they start opposing the message in you, and they start opposing you because of the message in you, now you can talk about persecution. But when you've done that, the Apostle Paul, he still called them out. He still got his 12 together there. Isn't it interesting he found 12 in Ephesus? Isn't that interesting? That was the bridge to the Gentile world. That was the bridge from the Jewish church that was being birthed as a kind of a cult within Judaism. That was the bridge to the Gentile world. And you go from Ephesus over to Corinth, where Apollos is digging in the ground, and Corinth is fixing to have the same blessing. Amen? Ephesus is the place. We look at that, and now we see how God touched the entire world through that ancient city that still stands to this day. You need to know something about God. He didn't call you to have a good time. He called you to do it in His time. He didn't call you to just have a party every day. He called you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Why do you need the peace of God in your heart unless you've got a storm on the outside? Why would you even need the peace of God unless you've got something raging outside your window? Every once in a while, the devil's going to try to knock you down. And every once in a while, he'll land a shot. Hello? Anybody ever been knocked down and had to get back up again? Huh? Have you? Come on. Anybody ever fail God and have to say, Lord, forgive me? Oh, my hand is up first to give you permission to do it. Amen? But at the end of the day, He's promised you that He would never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will go with you to the very end. So the real question is, what is this Pentecost about? What is this blessing about? What is this anointing about? Is it about making me feel better? Is it about making me more secure? No. It's about making you more ready to answer the call. The Holy Ghost baptism doesn't make you a better Christian. It makes you an able and available servant. Yes. This is what God has called all of us to do. I want to finish right here, and thank you for giving me just enough time to share this simple bit with you here. I want you to hear this again in verse 10. This continued by the space of 2 years. They were struggling against those that were struggling back. And they separated them out, went to school, started training and beginning to do the work and began to put some systems in order. Amen. The church began to grow. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, you know where Asia is? My prophecy buddies understand this is Turkey today. But Asia is also the place. This is really in the center. If you look on your map, this is the center point of the churches that John addressed over in Revelation, right? This is right. This is the high part right here. This is the place. And when you look at Ephesus, he said, all they that dwelt in Asia, somebody was leaving Ephesus. See, Ephesus is down on the coast. Somebody went up to the mountain and told somebody about Jesus. Somebody went on over to the Bosporus and told somebody about. Somebody went on over toward where Ararat is today on the border of Armenia and told them about Jesus. This is the Asia they knew. We think of Asia as China. This was their Asia. Somebody got on one of Sister Peggy's camels from Thursday night and went riding out through the desert. Amen? That was for the old folks. Amen? But somebody said, all right, Lord, here am I. Send me. That's not new. That's God's way and always has been God's way. When he carried the message of the gospel, I love this. He said, all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Didn't say they all got saved.